My name is Paola Tester. I'm conducting this interview on behalf of the Wellcome Trust for the One Another project by Anthony Gormley in Trafalgar Square. It's the 22nd of July 2009 at 7:20 a.m. Could you please tell me your full name, your date of birth and where you're from?
My name is Maureen Webster. My birthday is 27th of October 1954 and I'm from Gosport in Hampshire.
How are you feeling about going on the fourth plinth?
Really nervous but really excited. I'm really looking forward to it, and being here it's sort of escalating a bit now, seeing everybody about and all the setup and watching somebody just come off the plinth and go back on. So, yes, really excited.
Have you been following the project?
I have, yes, since I registered. Well, since I got accepted, when I registered I must admit sort of tended to forget about it, and then I got selected, and then since then, yes, it's been sort of almost daily, seeing what's going on and how it's progressing. So, yes.
How did you first hear about the project?
I think it was on a news broadcast. I'm not 100% sure, but news broadcast or a radio broadcast. And I went on the website to see what it was about. And it sort of went on from there. So once I found the One Another website and then the link to Artichoke, it sort of was obviously very easy to follow then. So.
And what is it that inspired you to apply?
Well, initially it was the thought of the ordinary person being able to do something quite extraordinary and be part of a huge, big project that you wouldn't normally have any association with. Something completely out of my normal comfort zone and a normal field of experience. I think that was it. That was just to try something completely different. And then using the hour, the chance to promote something that's quite dear to my heart. You know? So.
How did it feel when you found out you had your place?
Well, terrifying at first, but absolutely exhilarating. You think, well, it's so lucky. I suppose a bit like winning the lottery, you know, quite overwhelming. And I just didn't want to tell anybody. You know, for the first couple of days, it was, this is so exciting, but it's sort of just for me. This is my special thing. But just so, just wonderfully exhilarating and exciting, yes.
So what is it that you'll be doing for the hour?
Well, originally it was just going to be myself, just sitting up there on my own and just enjoying the view and the unique perspective of London. But this last week it's developed into a promotion or to raise awareness for the plight of the bee. I'm a new beekeeper and I've got my own hive, and my daughter and I have just recently did a course and started beekeeping, and it's just a fascinating subject and they're amazing things to watch, but they are facing a lot of issues, a lot of threats from areas, from disease and pollution and loss of foraging, and I thought, well, a unique opportunity to use the hour to do a bit of promotional, you know, save the honeybee, and it's just been amazing. So in a very short space of time I sent out a few emails, and we've had such a fantastic response from professional bodies and organisations, and so much encouragement. So that's what I'm going to do. We'll be dressing up as a beehive, and we've got some amazing things to hand out. We've got we've been given some samples to from Rose Honey. We've had the University of Sussex supporting us. A co-op, they've got their own Plan B campaign going. They've just been so amazingly encouraging all round. So that's what I'm going to use the hour for. So.
And how exactly will you be promoting your message?
Well, most of the promotion will be, I'll be dressed up as this beehive. We won't be saying much. I have a banner for my local beekeeping association, which I've put out. We've got handouts and leaflets. We've got the British Beekeepers Association. We've produced a leaflet giving some basic information about honeybees. We've got lots of contacts and websites and places people can go to find out more about it. Hopefully we can point people in the right direction. And people will have enough interest to go off and look for themselves on the website if they want to follow up any information that they might gain from today.
And what impact do you hope to have by going up on the plinth and promoting this message?
Well, the impact, I suppose, is to raise awareness of the threats and the plights of the honeybee, how important the honeybee is. It's a very amateur event today, but if we can get some attention, hopefully encourage somebody to perhaps take up beekeeping or find out more about it, buy local honey, plant some bee-friendly flowers in your garden, encourage your local council to plant bee-friendly plants. So any little bit would, if you just get a few people just to be more aware that the bee is facing a threat and there's something they can do about it, that'll be good. That'd be very good.
So how did you get into the beekeeping?
The beekeeping, right. When I grew up in Kent on the farm, there was beehives in the orchards with all the apples and the pears. And so it's always been a bit of a fascination. But recently, my daughter and I saw a beekeeping course advertised, and we thought, well, let's go for it, let's try it. So we did this introduction to beekeeping course at a local college, and it just, yeah, we thought, yeah, we'll go for it, this sounds really good, something we can do. We've got a big enough garden to do it, and I'm so glad, because it's just fascinating. You know, we've set up the hive and we've got a colony and we've got some honey being produced. We've got, you know, you go down there once a week and check them, and you know, the colony is growing just amazingly well, and it's just so lovely, just really good. You know.
And you're able to do this in the back garden.
In the back garden, yes, it's quite surprising. You don't have to have an orchard or a huge garden. You have to be aware of where you're sighting the bees, both for their benefit, and obviously you have to be aware of neighbours and, you know, passers by. So there's certain recommendations that you have to follow and have to, you know, have to abide by, and but sensible precautions. But any beekeeper association will give you guidance on that. But you don't need a huge area. Yes, and even if you don't have gardens or somewhere to keep a bee, there are places that will offer. They will host a beehive. So some farmers offer their fields. Some people have large gardens. They'd be quite happy to have a beehive there. They will foster a beehive as such, but in exchange for a bit of honey at the end of the year. So if you don't have the garden yourself, there's still ways of getting involved in beekeeping.
So where do you think the fascination with bees first came from?
Well, I suppose because they've been around for millions and millions of years and hardly have changed at all in all those times. They're very efficient, very effective little creatures. But there's something that provides so much to us, you know, with the pollination. It's so vital to everything, not just the farming, but even our everyday stuff. You know, you have for your gardens to improve the fruits on trees, even herbs and vegetables. You need the bees to pollinate, otherwise you've got a problem with your crops. So and they're such an integral part of just natural life. There's so much almost taken for granted that, you know, you have flowers, you have bees buzzing around, and, you know, lavender with the gentle hum of bees is sort of almost given as a, you know, accepted as a given. But I suppose because they are almost taken for granted, that some of the threats are, it's more serious, because you might just think, well, they've always been here, they always will be. And then you actually get into the hive and the colony, and it's just such industrious little creatures, and they're just, the whole social setup within the hive is just fascinating.
Can you tell us a bit more about the threats that they're facing?
The threats are, some are still unknown, and my knowledge, I'm still learning so much about it, because I said I'm fairly new to this, so obviously the point today is not for me to give the information, but to give the context where people can get the correct and accurate information from. But it is generally pollution, which is affecting so many things, insecticides, loss of foraging where hedgerows and fields of flowers and their pollen supplies are being grubbed up or destroyed or used for other means. People not using gardens so much, not having the time to do the gardening, and so or needing car parking space, so not so much planting the flowers. All these little things have an effect because it's reducing their access to their food. Threats from disease, which is has been a really big problem in the last few years, this varroa mite that can decimate a hive. And they have this sudden collapse syndrome where bees just die and die, or whole colonies just disappear. And there's a lot of research being done about the diseases and these problems they're facing. So they're getting it from all angles, the poor things, and they're struggling through, but there's some real threats there, but some can be addressed.
And what are some of the things that people can do day to day to help the cause?
Well, keep bees, if you want, contact local beekeeping associations or the British Beekeeping Association to find out if you have suitable facilities for keeping a hive. Go along to your beekeeping group, obviously find out if you like bees and if they fascinate you before you start purchasing anything, but invite your beekeeping group round to, if you belong to a group, and they can come around and give you a talk. If you don't want to keep bees, you can support things by buying local honey from beekeepers. You can plant friendly flowers, and there's lots of information on the website, and we've got some handouts today which will help you choose which flowers to plant. And you get very colourful, very flowers, and they cover a wide range of seasons, encourage your local council when they're planting up beds and that to plant bee-friendly flowers. They have the choices to make. Make a donation to bee campaigns funds. The co-op are doing a big campaign for Plan B. Rose Honey are doing an enormous promotion on protecting the honeybee. Lots of areas. So you don't have to actually keep bees. There's lots of other ways you can support them.
So is the beekeeping something you do full time?
Well, they're there obviously full time, but it's surprisingly little input. It's during the busy months, the summer months, you go down and check them once a week. It takes about an hour or so just to make sure everything's fine, healthy. You check for diseases, everything's fine, and they're and they're building the nest very well. The brood, the grubs and the eggs are being laid, and then make sure that they have enough honey at the end of the season to take them through winter. And then through winter, which we haven't gone through with our hive yet, you just check them less frequently just to make sure they have enough honey to go through for the next spring. So it's not time consuming. It isn't at all time consuming, but it's so relaxing, because at the end of the day at work, it's great to get in. You take a cup of coffee, go down and just sit there and just watch them just in and out the hive, and they're coming in with all sorts of pollen, little fat legs full of pollen and all different colours. I always thought pollen was yellow, but it isn't. It's quite amazing. There's white and there's all shades through to yellow to bright yellow. Even black, with the poppy seeds, the pollen is black. So depending on where they get where the pollen from, which was quite interesting. So, and it's just nice just to sit there, and they don't bother you at all. They really do not bother you. If you, if you're sitting there quietly and they let them get on with what they need to do, it's quite a nice way to just finish the working day.
So what is it that you do when you're not
When I'm not bees? I have a full-time job. I'm a project management facilitator, but I work for a company that we are a facilities management company, and I work on a military establishment locally, and we provide our contract provides mainly hard services, which is maintenance and sometimes new builds for the training establishment. We've got 5 training establishments across the South Coast, so that's what I do during the day.
So going back to the plinth, what do you hope happens when you get up there?
Well, one, that I don't fall off, because I'm not very good on heights, but really that Well, I'm just determined to enjoy it. It's going to be a unique experience. I hope that I can just make some people aware that there is a problem with bees. Bees are amazing things. Just gain some interest in what I'm doing, perhaps get a bit of attention. I've got some helpers at the bottom of the plinth who are going to hand out leaflets. We've got a few free samples to hand out. So I suppose just really what I hope for is just to raise some awareness of the honeybee.
Do you have any fears about going up?
Fears? No, because obviously the safety side has been very well covered and with the net. My family are convinced I'm going to be the first one that falls into the net, but I said no. But no real fears. A bit of trepidation, but no, I think by the time you get up there, there'll be so much to see and do and just enjoy that very quickly you wouldn't be aware of the height.
So. Have you taken part in arts events before?
Never. This is completely new, completely different experience for me. It's quite exciting.
And to help us get a picture of you and also the other people that are taking part in this, we're trying to build a picture of everyone. What would you say the things that are important to you in your life at the moment?
In my life, the important things are obviously family. You know, my mum, my husband, my children, and the grandchildren. Yes, family. And actually taking some time to enjoy life. You can so easily get caught up in work and rushing to get things done that you sort of lose things along the way or lose touch with things along the way. So in a way, this has helped that, you know, just sort of stop and there's other things to be doing and things to be enjoying and experiencing. So you know, you need the work, but you need your family and you need to enjoy life as well. So.
Is your family watching today?
Then? I have my husband and my son out there. My brother's going to join us later on today. Sarah, my son's partner, Sarah Tempest, she has been amazing this week. She has been completely, you know, the driving force and the motivator this week. She's just been phenomenal. It's been great fun with her. They live locally. But my sister in New Zealand, I phoned her last night. I've got a sister in Brighton and another sister over from Spain, and they're all going to be on the webcam and trying to sort of tune in this morning to have a look. I've got lots of friends who've been contacting me and say, yes, let's go for it. So we'll be watching. Have fun.
And who would you say that you're doing this for?
Would it be really selfish to say for me? You know, this initially the whole thing was just something I really just caught my imagination. I thought, this is just for me. This isn't, you know, for anybody else or for any other reason than just something I just really felt would be great to do. And then obviously to be able to do it, to use it to do a little bit of help the honeybee, you know, it's even better.
And how would you summarise the experience of the project since you first applied to this point now?
Absolutely brilliant. It's been, everyone's been made it so easy to do, you know, it's to be part of this and just so enthusiastic. You know, I've had several phone calls from the one another team. I've phoned up a few times. It's just been, everyone's just been really, really excited. And to be able to maintain that sort of level of, you know, enthusiasm and encouragement and excitement, it's been just phenomenal. It's been really good. It's been really good.